All right, well.
Can I use the microphone?
Good evening and praise the Lord on this Wednesday, first Wednesday in March. Praise God, it didn't snow like they said it was going to snow. Amen. And that's the last time I'm using a shovel this year.
Amen.
Even come December of 2014. It's the last time in 2014 I'm using a shovel.
Amen.
Amen to that.
I'm declaring it now. The Bible said we'll decree a thing and it shall be established. Amen. So we're decreeing that tonight. No more using shovels for snow. Let me clarify, for snow. I might do some yard work in the spring that requires a shovel, but no more snow shoveling.
Amen.
Amen. So we praise the Lord for that. Amen. Tonight and then for the next couple of weeks, I've been praying for a while. I wanted us to have a focused study. You know, sometimes we study books of the Bible, but I wanted us to have a focused study, whether a book or a subject. The Lord led me to a study guide, a study series. I believe it's 8 lessons on waiting on God. Which, amen. All of us, you know, listen, if you have a relationship with God, then you better learn how to wait.
Amen.
Amen.
Because there is waiting with God. Amen. Amen. And I believe because it's something we all go through, it's something we can all relate to, and I believe it's something that we can all be helped by.
Yes.
As we study and discuss these things over the next 8 weeks or so. So I think, I'm hoping that this will be something that will be beneficial to us and help us in our relationship with God, because this is real. I don't know about you, I'm waiting on God for something right now. I'm waiting on multiple things. Because if you're praying unto God and seeking God for certain things, then chances are pretty good that you're waiting.
Amen.
I don't believe there's such a thing as believing without waiting.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean, I mean, because God will answer prayer. It's not that you're always waiting for everything. But I'm sure most of us are praying about more than one thing. And believing God for more than one thing. And so waiting is really something that's really important for us if we're going to walk with God. And you know, we want to be able to wait patiently and wait in a manner that's going to be a good witness to other people, but also, too, will be beneficial for us. And, you know, because you don't want to get stressed out and uptight while you're waiting for God, because, in fact, that could delay your receiving. And in the interim can be bad for your health, bad for relationships, you know, because if you're impatient or you're stressed out or you're frustrated, you know, those things may spill over into your relationships, and the next thing you know, things are just spiraling in a bad way. Some people, you know, I've seen, you've seen, and maybe you've been that person that from time to time where you weren't good at waiting for God. You know, so we're going to look at the Psalm 13 tonight, and I thank my wife for trying to help me in my forgetfulness, because I should have made copies of that at my office, and so we try to do some things at home, and the copies aren't that great. They will be better, because I will do them, or you will have more time to do them, but I can do that at my office or whatever, but it's just... It's just one of those things. The minute I get home, I go, oh, I forgot to make copies. And so we were scrambling trying to get it done. So we apologize for that. But we will make it through. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so we're going to look at Psalm 13 tonight. This is a psalm by David. What I like about these study guides and things, like, we may not get through this whole thing tonight, but if we do, that's fine. If not, but what we'll do is make sure that we distribute like the lesson for the next Wednesday before Wednesday, so maybe like on Sunday, right? So this way we can have it, and then we can come in, right, having. Hopefully, you know, looked at it, thought about it, considered the things. You know what I mean? Because in this way, we probably can get more out of it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's pray tonight, and then we'll look at this first lesson that's on waiting, and it's entitled, When Waiting is Difficult. But let's pray first. Father, we give you praise tonight, and we do thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. You've been good to us again today and to our families. And Father God, we are thankful to be here tonight to hear a word from you. That is our heart's desire. So, Father, we're asking that you will speak to us, that you will bless us with a listening ear, that you will bless our hearts to receive from you, and God, that you will bless us, oh God, to come away with wisdom, with knowledge, with understanding, with revelation, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Direct us in the way that we should go. And Lord, we give you praise and we give you thanks for the deposits that shall be made. Make us over, dear God. You have our permission, oh God, to just make us over. We yield to you now, and we give you all praise. You have your way in this place, and may you receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's look at this. There's a couple of questions to get us started. It says, when waiting is difficult. I'll read the introduction here. It says, we do not like to wait. Whether it is being put on hold on the phone or standing in a long line at the store, waiting irritates us. Sometimes, though, waiting is more than an annoyance. Sometimes it's torturous. Waiting for a loved one to come out of surgery, waiting for the results of a biopsy taken to test for cancer, waiting for an answer to prayer, to a prayer we have been praying for months or even years. This kind of waiting is difficult because it is full of fear. We are left in these times with terrible questions about our future and terrible questions about God. Scripture testifies to these times of painful waiting, putting into words our anguished fears. Wonderfully, Scripture also offers us hope and strength for these times of difficult waiting. Okay, so our first question tonight says, what kinds of situations are hardest for you to wait patiently in? And why? First of all, is it difficult for us to wait?
Yep.
In what type of situations? Because the author here says that being put on hold on the phone irritates us.
That's not so bad for me. It's the doctor's office.
Yeah. I could testify to that one. If the doctor's running 5 minutes late, my wife is saying, if he doesn't see me in the next 10 minutes, I'm leaving.
Yep.
My time is as valuable as his.
Exactly.
Shouldn't have made the appointment if you can't. I've heard them all. but being put on hold, waiting in lines at the store or at the DMV or something like that. Any other type of waiting that what about the traffic? You're in a traffic jam. I mean, you know, you got to be in the traffic. I mean, when I say traffic jam, I don't mean like heavy moving traffic. I'm talking about traffic.
Like you just stuck.
Yeah, then just bumper to bumper. You're just crawling. You know, for 45 minutes. It took you 45 minutes to go a quarter of a mile.
No.
You know, that holiday traffic, that Wednesday before Thanksgiving traffic. You know, but waiting can be difficult. It's funny, though, but there's good waiting, too. When I say good waiting, in other words, there's waiting for good things, I guess I would say. You know, like waiting for a child to be born. That's a good waiting, even though it could be a waiting that has some uncertainty and anxiety, but you want everything to work out right. Waiting for your wedding day. That should be a good waiting. But at the same time, again, there's some anxiety, you know what I mean? Because you don't want to get stood up at the altar.
Right.
But waiting, is it because, do you think, how much do you think that the uncertainty of the outcome contributes to us not liking to wait?
That's the part. Like waiting in line, the traffic and all that kind of stuff doesn't really bother me too much. But it's like the other things, like, you know, waiting here by the interview or those kind of things, that bothers me.
Yeah. Well, see, but I wonder though. It depends, I guess, on the situation too. Like on the traffic, because if you had to be at a certain place at 2 o'clock, and now you're in traffic, and now. You're now uncertain whether you're going to make it on time.
Yeah.
Being in that traffic could upset. You know what I mean? Because of the uncertainty of, you know, let's say you have a job interview. Nobody wants to be late to a job interview.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And here you are, or the first day on the job, and here you are stuck in traffic, and you can't believe it because you gave yourself an extra 15, 20 minutes to get there, and now the clock is ticking on you. You don't even know if you're going to make it on time. So it's something about the uncertainty, I think, that maybe bothers us too in the waiting. Is it going to be okay? So even with the positive things, the child that you're expecting, is the baby going to be okay? Because of that uncertainty, the waiting is now tinged with a little anxiety or fear, right? I mean, these are just things. I'm not saying that we should accept these things, and I don't think that's the point. Right? It's just to acknowledge some of the natural human feelings and emotions we may go through. Doesn't mean we should just go, well, this is how I should feel when I wait. You know, the point is really to get past the fear and the anxiety and get to a place of trust. But sometimes you can't get to that place if you don't fully acknowledge it. You know what, this is what I experience in this type of situation. So the next time you know that we're waiting, and we start to feel a little anxious or whatever, we'll let our spirit and our faith kick in. Amen. It says, think of a time you waited for a long time for an answer to a prayer. What anxieties did you experience while waiting? And how did this time of waiting affect your sense of God's presence with you? If you're waiting for a long time for an answer to a prayer, how do you feel in terms of God's responsiveness to you and His presence with you? Does it affect that at all?
Sometimes I feel like He's not there when I'm waiting for an answer. Now then I feel like He's not there. And then sometimes I might feel like He's helping.
Right. That's a funny thing for a Christian to feel like God's not there. But I believe I've experienced that. I think many Christians have experienced that. And it's funny to call it a feeling because that's what it is. This is why feelings can't be trusted. But we can acknowledge them. They're real, but they're not the final word.
Right.
We can feel like God's not there. It's like you can feel that someone doesn't like you, but they really do. You can feel someone doesn't love you.
Right.
There's many a family member or a spouse who felt at a certain time that the other one didn't love them. It's just a feeling. It's legitimate. Some people exalt their feelings over truth, though.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Since I feel that way, it must be true. That's dangerous. You know, because our feelings are not reliable.
Right.
But many times our feelings are based on incomplete information, or sometimes they're even based on a little bit of selfishness.
Yeah.
You ever get mad at somebody because you just didn't get your way?
Yep.
They didn't do anything wrong. You just didn't get your way. Now you're mad. waiting on God. It's difficult sometimes. Especially when you don't, like, God is not saying anything more. There are times where God doesn't speak on the matter anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do you do then? Right? And that, and these are the types of questions that we have to wrestle with. What do you do then? You know, you're waiting on God for just fill in the blank, you know, whatever. And you've been waiting for a week. You've been waiting for a month. You've been waiting for a year. You've been waiting for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I wrote something down in February. I know the exact date. It was February 23rd, 2013. I wrote down something that I believe God said He was going to do for me soon. And it still hasn't happened. And I have it in my Bible. I put it right in Numbers 23 and 19, and I put it right on that. God is not a man that he should lie. It's right there. From February 23rd of 2013. But guess what? I'm still believing God for it. I believe he said that. So, we have to wait on God. Amen. And sometimes it's difficult. Let's look at the Psalm 13. This is a psalm written by David. Let's look at what he says. We're going to read from the King James Version. He says, "How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me." Amen. The first two verses, David asks nothing but questions, and they all center on how long. Right? And the first question is, how long will you forget me, O Lord? How long will you forget me? Not how long will you make me feel as if you forget me. He's saying to God, you forgot me. You forgot all about me, Lord. How long are you going to forget me? And then he says this, forever? How long will you forget me, O Lord? Now, let's look at our questions here as we continue to look at these verses. Now, it says, how would you title each one of these sections? Three sections, verses 1 through 2, verses 3 through 4, verses 5 through 6. Verses 1 through 2 are the four questions of how long?
Easy, how long?
That's what you would title that?
Yeah.
How long? Okay.
How long?
To me, that's good. To me, that's the complaining section. That's his complaint. That's his problem, right? That's his, right?
His issue.
Yeah, that's his issue. How long? What about the third and fourth verses? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Yeah, that's the plea. That's almost like the praying section, right? That's where he's making his request known, right? He actually now says, consider and hear me. He wants God to answer him. And he's asking God to do some things for him. You know, unless his enemies, will rejoice over him and get the victory. Then we get the last section, verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. What's going on in that section, verses 5 and 6?
Faith.
Yeah, he's responding now in faith.
Nevertheless.
Right, that's that faith section right now. He's expressing hope and trust in God. So we go from a complaining section, how long, how long, how long, how long, right? Then we go to a praying section where he's asking God, consider my situation, hear me, answer me. Don't let my enemies have victory over me. Don't let them rejoice over me. And then he goes, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to sing. I'm going to rejoice. And he does that pretty quickly, too. Six verses. Right? Six verses. Now, I said, what do we learn from the first section, what I would call the complaining section, about how waiting affects the psalmist mentally and emotionally? How is David, you know, when you look at this, how long will you forget me, O Lord? Just listen to the words. How long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? How's David feeling?
He's angry.
He's angry, right? He's angry. He's demanding. A bit frustrated. Probably in despair, because especially with his enemies, you know, probably getting the better of him, or it seems like his enemies getting the better of him. And he's complaining. Now, let's go to question three, and then we'll come back to this complaining thing. It says, how does the experience of waiting affect how he experiences God? Now, he's waiting, so now, what's his sense of God? How is he experiencing God right now?
God's not there to him.
Right. In a way, he's like, it's almost like God's not there to him. Mm-hmm. He's wondering, because he's saying, God, you forgot me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a terrible feeling to feel as if you've been forgotten. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes some of the deepest frustration and hurt I've felt is when I felt somebody forgot about me. That's when I was younger. You forgot all about me. Nobody wants to be forgotten. Amen? Nobody wants to be forgotten. You know? You forgot all about me. Oh, just ask a woman when the husband forgets the anniversary. Oh, God. You might as well stay up. You might as well stay out. Don't even come home. You forgot all about me. No one likes to be forgotten. So when he says that, that's showing you how the deep of his despair. And here's the thing. You know that David knew that God didn't forget him. But like you said, that's his anger talking. See, because when you're angry, you say some stuff. Right?
I think he's also trying to push God into acting.
Yeah. With provocative words, right? Yeah. You forgot all about me. And we do that sometimes. So somebody go, no, I didn't. We try to get that response by going to the uttermost extreme. Mm-hmm. You are acting like I'm invisible. We like saying stuff like, you know, we like making that. We can throw a pity party, can't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, we can. So he's experiencing that God is not there. But here's the thing I want to talk about for just a second. He's complaining. Right? How does God feel about complaining?
People
complain at the speed of the Lord. Now, let's keep our finger in Psalm 13, right? And let's turn to Numbers chapter 11. We keep our finger in Psalm 13 because we're coming back. But let's look at Numbers 11. Okay, verse number 1. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the utmost parts of the camp. Pretty straightforward, right? Mm-hmm. Now, so the people complained, the Lord was not pleased. Now, let's stay here in Numbers 11. Let's look at verse number 10. It says, "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant?" He said, "Why have you dealt this way with me? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou should say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father bears the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we might eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." Verse 16, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may stand there with thee, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." Now, did Moses, how would you describe how Moses was talking to God? Like, who's crazy?
Moses.
Like, Moses was crazy? So how would you just... Okay.
He was comfortable.
Huh?
He was comfortable.
He was comfortable. So, okay. So he says... So Moses says to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servants? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Have I conceived all this people?" Mm-hmm. I mean, how is he talking?
He's mad.
Hmm? He's mad. How come no one wants to say he's complaining?
Oh, yeah, he's complaining. Oh, yeah,
he's
complaining.
He's saying, "Why am I in this situation?
Right.
Why you put me in this situation? Why you put me with these people?
Right. Did I give birth to them?
Where am I going to get meat to give all these people?"
Oh,
isn't that what he's He's like, "Why I gotta deal with these knuckleheads?" He said, "If I gotta deal with them, I'd rather you kill me immediately."
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
This is how he's talking.
To God.
Now, we just saw it said in verse 11, when the people complain and displease the Lord, he's talking this way to God, and God says, "Okay, Moses, I'm gonna help you. Call 70 people, and I'm gonna take the spirit that's upon you, and I'm gonna give it unto them so that you don't have to bear this burden alone." How come God's not mad at them?
Maybe because he went to the Lord with his complaint.
Exactly right. And that's the thing that we got to understand. God doesn't like us complaining to one another. Because, see, that then can now lead to other people complaining. Mm-hmm. And it also shows a lack of trust in God. Mm-hmm. Because other people can't help you. Mm-hmm. So what you complain to them for? "I can't believe this is like that." See, I shouldn't complain that way to you. But we should have enough trust and faith in God that we can talk that way to God. Because he can handle it in ways that we can't. Because you start complaining that way to me, because I'm imperfect, I might start complaining too. Or I might start putting you down. Nothing good comes from us complaining to each other. And it shows a lack of faith. But when I go to God and I'm complaining, first of all, he can handle it because he knows all things. And if anything, God wants us complaining to him rather than other people. So when we talk about when the people complain that displease the Lord, when they complain to each other, when they're murmuring, "Why did God bring us out here in this wilderness? Wasn't it better for us to be in Egypt?" He don't want to hear that. Now, if I went to God and go, listen, I don't know about you. I mean, maybe some of you are very, very good. I've complained to God plenty of times. I've learned to complain to God because God can handle my complaints. And then that time when you complain to God, you pour out your heart, and God will answer you, and conviction will come. But at least you now have revelation on your situation.
That's true.
But I don't think any of us should be afraid to complain unto God. He wants to hear our prayer, because you're being honest. When things are bothering you, can we not pretend that things don't bother us? If a person bothers you, if a situation bothers you, if waiting bothers you, Lord, I'm tired of waiting.
Yep.
Oh, I've told the Lord off before. At least I thought I was telling him. You know what I mean? I thought I was saying something. Yeah, I mean, anybody ever tell the Lord, you're tired, that's it, you ain't doing this no more?
Yep.
Whatever it was. Lord, that's it, I'm tired, I'm not doing this anymore.
Never asked him to kill me.
No, I never. I've never gone that far either. I never asked God to kill me. I never got that far out. But the thing is this, God wants us to pour out our heart to him, even if it's a bitterness in there, because he can deal with the bitterness. He wants us to bring things to him and to be open and honest enough. Now, that doesn't mean, don't get it wrong now, that all your communication is nothing but complaining. Right? God will let you know when enough is enough. But I think the idea is, you see, we should don't pretend with God. If something is really bothering you, don't act like, oh Lord, you know, act like everything's okay. And you're just talking all nice and polite. Now, I do believe though, as you grow in faith, you'll have fewer and fewer episodes of complaining even to God. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that. Mm-hmm. Because as you begin to know him better and know his character, that matters more to you than anything else. Mm-hmm. Because you relate to him according to his character. Not according to what's going on and what he has done or hasn't done, but according to his character, his faithfulness, his love, his compassion, his mercy, the things that characterize who he is. Right?
Right?
But if someone hasn't been treating you right, you can go to the Lord, Lord, John hasn't been treating me right. I'm really upset with him. He can handle that. Mm-hmm. Right? So we can see then that when David is complaining to God, because again, remember David. David's a man after God's own heart. And we got Psalm 13. We can turn back to Psalm 13 now. We have Psalm 13, and David is, how long have you forgot me, Lord? Forever? But he doesn't stay there. That's the thing.
Right?
Right? He doesn't stay there. Amen, and neither should we, and that's the point. We can't stay in a state of complaining before God and think we're going to get away with that. Right. But God can handle our complaints, and he's not going to be displeased if we make our complaint to him, mm-hmm. as opposed to going to someone else. Because God knows I'm the one and the only one who can help you. Amen. All right, so let's go back to our questions. Question 4, how does the Psalms' mental, emotional, and spiritual experience while waiting compare with your experiences during difficult times of waiting? I guess one way we can ask is, can you relate? Mm-hmm. You've been waiting for something. Can you relate to the frustration, the anguish that he's expressing here? I can.
Yes.
Definitely can relate to that. What does he ask in verse 3 is question number 5. What does the psalmist ask for in verse number 3?
That I would hear him.
Right, that he would hear him. And in the Amplified it says, consider and answer me.
Yeah.
You know, so you know when you ask God to hear you, you know, when God hears us, right, he also grants us
right. The
petitions that we desire of him, according to 1 John. Chapter 5, 14 and 15. So, if we know God hears us, we know God will answer us. So he says, his request is, Lord, answer me. What does that, What does that suggest that he's been going through? If he's saying, Lord, answer me. That he hasn't heard from him. That he feels he has, that there's been a period of time where he's been praying and he hasn't gotten an answer. I remember my wife used to do some stuff to me. You remember when I would say to you sometimes, don't shake your head, it could be a good thing. It's not, but it could be. I'm only kidding. But you remember, like, there were times I would say to you that I asked God for something, and she would always say, what did he say? I'm not going to say he didn't say anything yet. I just asked him. I always got a kick out of that. Could you always want to know, what did he say? That's one thing we have to understand. God doesn't often answer right away.
No.
You can ask. But that doesn't mean you get your answer right away. Sometimes you do, but a lot of times you don't. Amen. And David apparently was in this period where he had been asking God and hadn't received, which led to him believing that he had been forgotten. Mm-hmm. Right? And so now his prayer is, Lord, Lord, consider me and answer me. To that, man. Lord, answer me. But God is good, though. He does answer. But man, when it feels like you're just hearing nothing. What do you do when you hear nothing? Now, let's go to verse number 6. We'll come back to that. What is the psalmist convinced will happen if God does not answer him? That's verse number 4. What's he convinced that's going to happen? If God doesn't answer him,
his enemy's going to prevail against him.
Yeah. And those that trouble him will rejoice. In other words, he's going to end up in a bad situation. God, if you don't answer me, I'm going to end up in a bad situation. It's almost more, it's more the same, right? Trying to get God to move, right? Lord, if you don't... If you don't give me money for the rent, I'm going to get thrown out on the street. That's amen. You can just fill it in with something else. You know what I mean? Lord, if you don't do this, you know, this thing is going to happen to me. We won't have any food to eat. I won't be able to send my baby to college. It's funny to talk to God. When you think about sometimes the things we say to God, and how patient is he with our foolishness? Especially because there are infinite number of ways in which God can answer our prayer. But in our mind, if this doesn't happen, if this, and it's funny, it's the thing we're asking for. Know what that assumes? That the thing we're asking for is right. You ever ask God for something and you wanted it in a certain way, or you believe that was the answer, and God answers in another way, and your situation is solved anyway, even though you didn't get what you asked for? You know, there are times, like for example, here, I'll give you this example. The bill is due, the rent is due, the mortgage or whatever is due. Lord, if I don't have the money by Friday, right? I'm going to get thrown out on the street. If I don't have my credit report's going to be ruined. If I don't have... And then you don't get the money. But you get forbearance from the person you owe the money from. But you didn't ask for that. You asked for the money. And then when you tell the person, you know, Mr. So-and-so, I'm sorry, I just don't have the money. He goes, that's okay. I'll give you another week if you, you know... Isn't that just as good?
Yes.
Right? At least, you know, you got another week. And maybe in that other week, now God starts moving in other ways, and right? But, you know, we ask for something, and if we don't hear from God the way we think that we should, then you know, we start giving all these things. If you don't give me what I ask for, then the worst is going to happen. But now the psalmist gets to the second to the last stage of the psalm, verses 5 and 6. And what does the psalmist commit to doing in the final section? What does he say he's going to do? First of all, he says, I have what? Trusted in thy mercy. Right? He said, I have trusted. And that's a good thing, right? When you can have some experience. That's why you got to have experience with God. Because when you go through your next situation, if you have no experience upon which to draw, you're in trouble. And if you don't have an experience with God, it's who's that on? It's on us. Because God wants to have a relationship with us. And if we don't have any experiences with Him, that's on us. And see, if you have some experiences with Him, you'll know. You know what, Lord? I remember you. You helped me before. Sometimes, at some point, that kicks in. Even if you're in your deepest despair, it will kick in. You'll remember when God answered. And the wonderful thing is, as your relationship strengthens, for the most part, that's how you live. Yeah. With that, Lord, you helped me before, I know you're going to help me now. That can't be faith. Right. You actually have to go through some stuff with God. You have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. You got to be in that emergency room. And then God brings you out and your loved one out on the other side. And now you got something that no one, amen, it's not even something you can get from reading the Bible. That's different. I really do believe there's a faith that comes by hearing the Word of God, right? By reading the Word and having the Holy Spirit speak to you about the Scriptures. And then there's a faith that comes when God is walking you through your struggle. And speaking unto you. Sometimes just one word at a time. Right? Small phrases. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. No. You don't hear any, I'm going to fix this thing totally. It's going to work out. No, none of that stuff. It's going to be okay. Right? And it's something about you hearing that word at the right time, you just go, it'll settle your spirit. See, that, those types of things, you can't manufacture that. That's based on a real experience with a real God. And so if you have more of those, you live in this, I recall that you helped me in the past, right? As David says here, I've trusted in your mercy. That word mercy is translated in some versions as unfailing love. Amen? Mm-hmm. Unfailing love. That means what? A love that never fails. Amen? That's God. So David says, first I'm going to trust. Then he says what? My heart shall rejoice. So he's gone from complaining to trusting and now rejoicing. And he hasn't finished yet. And then he says, I will sing. So he says what? He's now turned from complaining and all that to saying, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to sing. And he says, because you have dealt bountifully with me. Bountifully means good. Because you've been good to me. That's why it's important for us to, you know, you got to feed your spirit. That's why it's important to say God is good. Yes. Because when times start to hit you like this, that will well up within you. Right. No, but God is good. And He's been good to me. But if your mouth is shut and you don't say those types of things, I'm telling you, it's hard, amen?
Yeah.
You got to get those things on the inside. God is good to me. God's been so good. He's been so faithful. When you say those things, not only are you praising Him right then and there, but you're building up a reservoir that you can tap into later when you need it.
Yeah.
When things are dry, you'll be able to tap into this reservoir of God's goodness that you've proclaimed because you've had some experiences with Him. Amen?
Amen.
God is real. Amen. Now, the psalmist, what does he reaffirm about God? We were just talking about something. He talks about how God has been good. Mm-hmm. Amen. We can all talk about that, right?
Amen.
God has been good to us. Amen. Does that mean everything has gone exactly the way you wanted it? Of course not. But that's not how goodness is measured. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And God teaches you that, too. That things can be good without you necessarily getting everything you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people say that life is good. Wow. And they start telling you because everything seems to be working out their way. I can tell you this right now. Life is good even when stuff's not working out your way.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn, because question 9 is almost a duplicate about, you know, remembering truth about God. How can I help you when waiting is difficult? That's like Jeremiah, right? When you can remember things about God, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It fills you with hope when you can remember the things God has done. Now, I'm just going to go to number 11 because it talks about a quiet time, right? In a time of quiet, it says, join the psalmist in his prayer found in verse 3. Look what it says again. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Amen. You know, sometimes we're so sophisticated in things. I'm not saying like I know exactly what we're doing, but just sometimes you see people praying in a corporate setting. Sometimes I just wonder, why are you gotta try to be all impressive? See, when I see that, I just say to myself, it's like, because think about it from this standpoint. The closer you get to someone, the more real and authentic you should be with that person. When you go on the first date, you're pronouncing every G and ING, and you know what I mean? And you don't mispronounce anything. You make sure you use the right words, and you make sure you cut your food the right way. And, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, because that's your first date. But by the time you've been married for 25 years, you should be able to pick up the chicken like, oh. You know, when you were in the restaurant that first night, you know, you cutting the pizza. You see people eat pizza with a fork?
Yeah.
By the time you're married 25 years, you pick up the pizza you eat like that. You see what I mean? That's the way it should be. I mean, there should be a level of ease that you have with one another. And so when I see people praying like, oh, sometimes I think, okay, they're just trying to be impressive in the crowd, but sometimes I just wonder, do you have an ease with God yet? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not that you're irreverent with him, but that you don't have to put on anything with him. Because you know he knows you. And so now I can be vulnerable. You know, you can be, you know. So like this, look on me and answer me, Lord. I'm telling you. And you can go on for 100 words if you want to, or you can just say this. Lord, I need you to answer me. I need to hear from you, Lord. Amen. So it says that we should join with the psalmist in this quiet time. And I think that's good, especially as we're going through some things. And as David, you know, concluded here, God is good. And, you know, I believe this, that while you're waiting, one of the good things to do, you know, is to rejoice. Express your faith and your trust in him by saying, Lord, I know you're going to do it. I'm waiting on you, God. I know you're going to do it. And here's the thing. What if God's not going to do what you're asking for? Then you got to trust him that he's going to tell you that.
Right.
God's not going to have us, you know, putting our hopes in something he's not going to do. I mean, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He loves us. He'll communicate to us. He'll let us know. You know what? You can let that go.
Right.
I'm not doing that. Amen. But God is good, but we have to trust him enough like that. You know what I mean?
That's why I tell people sometimes, listen, if you believe God is telling you to walk in a certain direction, walk in that direction. Well, what if it's wrong? Then you got to trust Him to redirect you. Because what loving father going to let you just walk in the wrong direction and just stand there watching you disappear into the horizon? Even an earthly father wouldn't do that. Not the one who loves the child. Well, that boy's going the wrong way. He's still looking at him. He's just going the wrong way. Why don't you call him back? I ain't calling him. Who would do that? Not a father who loves a child. He's going, hey, come back. You're going the wrong way. And if a loving earthly father would do that, I have trust that God's not going to allow me to just walk off the edge of the cliff. So guess what? I'm going to start walking.
That's right.
He says He orders my steps. I got to be stepping.
Amen.
Some people want to be ordered from their chair. You sit down, come on, God, you order my steps. And He looks at you and goes, what steps? You're just sitting there. Tell the people to move forward. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's what He told Moses at the Red Sea. What are you crying to me for? Tell the people to move forward. Because guess what? As you move forward, God will lead you and guide you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So listen, time for waiting, right? It's going to happen to us all. Sometimes waiting is difficult, but God is faithful.
Amen.
Amen. But here's the thing I hope we get out of this tonight, in addition to just the discussion about waiting, is we can make our complaints known unto God. Don't be afraid to do that, because in some ways, if you're not comfortable enough to complain, then maybe you're not comfortable enough to be totally honest. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, not everything's going to need to be a complaint now. God ain't going to stand for that. Because He's too good, and He knows He's good. But you know what? If you're in that place of despair and frustration, God can handle it. Amen? And it's better, if you do have a complaint in your spirit, take it to Him and not to people. Because people can't handle your complaint. Amen. Negative things will come out of that. Amen? Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we give You praise and we give You thanks, God. Father, we just thank You, Lord, because You're faithful. And You've shown Yourself faithful to us time and time again. God, we ask You, O Lord, to grant us the grace, to wait, O God, with patience, O God, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit of patience, God. Knowing and trusting in You, Lord, that You shall answer us, O God. Father, we thank You, Lord God, of all those times that we have experienced with You, God, that they form a foundation for us right now as we are waiting for the answers to prayer. And Father, right now, everyone under the sound of my voice is believing on You for something, O God, believing on You for more than one thing, Lord. And Father God, we are waiting in faith, just trusting in You and Your unfailing love toward us. Father, I pray that You will show Your faithfulness unto Your people tonight, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. That, Father, that You will move in everyone's situation in a way that they need it, as a reminder unto them, O God, that You have not forgotten, but that You are forever mindful of us. Father, we give You praise and we give You thanks right now, God, in the name of Jesus, for being the only one that we can totally trust in and rely upon. You are our God, and beside You there is none other. And Lord, we lift You up as we wait on You. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Thank You, God, for renewing our strength and our resolve, for strengthening our faith. And we give You praise in the name of Jesus. God, we ask now as we leave, go with us and guide us safely over the roadways. And Father, continue to bless our homes. And Father, we will continue to bless You because You are worthy of all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's amazing. The same David who says, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? That's Psalm 8.
Yeah.
Says in Psalm 13.
How long will you forget me?
How long you gonna forget me, Lord?
Forever.
The same David. Forever. But that just
shows how real David is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He just say, hey, yo, what is God? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And then he wants to know, how long are you going to forget me, God?
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with him.